Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I recall about 50 years ago, when I preached this particular sermon in a little church in Philadelphia, that in successive years Pastor Dunn followed me as pastor of the church. And in the congregation was a young man from the Roman church. He was dating one of my young ladies in the church. And after I preached a sermon on the virgin birth, he came to me all excited. He said, You believe in the Virgin Mary? I said, Certainly I do. It's in the book. It's right here. And I went on to explain a little bit further, which seemingly did not get through to him. There's two observations that I would like to make from the passage that we've read to you this evening. If you will, first of all, notice verse 22, which says, All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Now you can go through all of the prophets, and you'll only come up with the passage in Isaiah that speaks to us of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I will concede the fact that the word translated in Isaiah can be translated virgin, or it can be translated young woman. But if you compare Scripture with Scripture, and you read from Matthew's Greek, and I only know a little Greek, Matthew's Greek is more exact than Isaiah's Hebrew. And we have the commentary in Matthew for Isaiah, and Matthew's word can only be virgin. Do you understand? Yes, the RSV will translate Isaiah 9:6 as young woman, but they are driven by the Greek language in Matthew to translate it virgin, because the Greek will not allow for anything else. The Greeks had a word for it. So much for an introduction. Let me get back to my notes. The virgin birth is the fundamental of fundamentals. If Christ were not virgin born, he could not have had a sinless, spotless life. If Christ were not virgin born, he could not have had the power to work miracles. And John tells us there are much more that he could write that happened in the life of Jesus. So there were many more miracles performed. There was much more teaching that was given forth than John or Matthew and Mark and Luke could record. If Christ were not virgin born, he could not have died vicariously. And by that big word, I mean he could not have died for you and for me. If Christ were not virgin born, he would not have been raised from the dead. We could go to the garden tomb and say, this is where Christ is buried. But we go to the garden tomb in Jerusalem and we find it empty. This is where Christ was buried. And he was only there for 3 days and 3 nights, Matthew tells us. If Christ were not virgin born, he could not have ascended back to his Father. And if Christ were not virgin born, we could not sit here tonight with the blessed hope that someday we shall see Christ face to face. I think my congregation is old enough to appreciate this particular quotation that I'm going to give you from Harry Emerson Fosdick, pastor of the Riverside Church in New York City for many years and many years ago. He said, my mind refuses to do the intellectual somersault that it would take to believe in the virgin birth. If the Bible says so, I'm willing to do anything that is necessary to believe it. The unbeliever says, what I can't explain, I will not believe. This morning, I ate breakfast, as I usually do. And the food that I ate was digested. It was absorbed into the bloodstream and circulated in my body. Then it will be assimilated. Dead food becomes bone, nerve, heart, lungs, etc. But how? I can't explain it. And my father, you all often used to use this quotation. He says, how can a black cow eat green grass and give white milk? I can't explain it. But it happens every day. I'm willing to believe what the Bible says concerning the virgin birth. If what the unbeliever says is true, then the Bible is full of mistakes. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it has not yet appeared what it shall be, for we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And I could go on and on and on and read the promises of God for us. And if Christ were not virgin born, then the promises of God are of no effect. And you and I are yet in our sins. We are not sons of God. Either the Bible is true or it's in error. There is no middle ground. Why did Christ have to be born of a virgin? If he was not, he needed a Savior. If he was just a man, as men would have us believe, then he needed a Savior, because David says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Yes, the very moment that you and I were born, we were born sinners. David says, "I'm a sinner. Not because I sinned with Bathsheba, but I sinned with Bathsheba because I'm a sinner." And that's not double talk. An ordinary man can substitute for no more than one man. If Christ were just a human, if Christ were not virgin born, then he could not have died for you and for me. He could have died for his contemporaries. But the sacrifice to be efficacious had to be a spotless, clean, sinless Lamb of God. Virgin born, without the taint of sin. If his claims were false, he was a liar when he says, "I and my Father are one." He's a liar. "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." If he was not virgin born, he could not have seen the Father. If Christ were not virgin born, he's a maniac. Some would have us believe that he had a vision and all this went to his head. We could compare this with Muhammad, the founder of Islam, which we've heard much about in the last couple of weeks since September 11th. Yes, Muhammad had a vision. Had a vision of Allah. And Allah appointed him as a prophet. But we could go to Mecca and find Muhammad's grave. Muhammad was not resurrected as Christ was resurrected on the third day. If Christ were not virgin born, could you gather together this evening and consciously worship a maniac? And how can, if Christ were not virgin born, if Christ were not raised from the dead the third day and ascended to glory, till the time will come when he will return, then how do you account for the fact that you and I, we worship here every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and Thursday night? Why do we put in the time? If Christ were not virgin born, how can you account for the 2,000 years of the existence of the church? If Christ were not virgin born, if Christ was yet in the grave rather than on the edge of heaven, waiting for the time for the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, and then we which are alive, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Secondly, Let's look at some proofs of the virgin birth. First of all, in Luke 24, and we won't turn to it, but we will turn to some other passages. In Luke 24, we have the meeting of Christ with Cleophas and his friend. They're walking along the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus with hearts that are broken because they have learned that the Messiah, he whom they had expected to be the Messiah, was crucified. No longer able to be in their presence. And as they walk that 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, he began at Moses and all of the prophets to expound unto them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. Yes, I would have liked to have been there. I would have liked to have had that biblical seminar, that Bible teaching class, where he began with Moses. Where did he begin? Genesis 3:15. He spoke to us concerning Joseph, the forerunner or the type of Christ. He speaks of Joshua. He speaks of Isaiah in Isaiah of the virgin birth, of the sacrificial sacrifice of Isaiah 53, of Micah 5:2, that Christ shall be born in Bethlehem, and on down through the passages in the prophets. And he says, that's me. That's me. I'm the virgin born. And then you remember the story of his revelation in the home in Emmaus. Christ taught in the upper room when John says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Did you ever pray and ask the Spirit of God to open your understanding? Do so sometime. Frequently. And probably this has happened to you as well. Frequently I will read a passage and I will say to myself, I never saw it that way. I never saw the truth in that passage. It might have even been a passage that I preached from. But as I read it and the Spirit of God opened my understanding, I said to myself, I never saw it that way. Try it sometime. It's very illuminating. And then I'm going to read to you 4 different Old Testament quotations. Turn with me as we read this morning from Genesis 3. We're going to reread the passage. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. I know a lot of women that are afraid of snakes, serpents. I won't ask you to raise your hands. And between your seed, the seed of the serpent, and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Yes, the serpent thought he had gained the victory when he bruised the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's hill. But Moses says, he shall bruise your head, the head of the serpent. And beloved, you and I are not working and hoping for victory, but we are walking in victory. For Christ has gained the victory. It's a done proposition. And then turn with me to Isaiah 7, please. Isaiah 7:14. Let's go back to verse 10 to get the connection. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depths or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then turn over to chapter 9, verse 6, that we read from this morning. For unto you is born, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. And then over into Isaiah 53, please. Who hath believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Micah 5:2, please. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. Then turn with me to Luke 1, please. And we notice in Luke 1, beginning at verse 26, the man of God, Gabriel. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Then let your eye go down to verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" But I missed the verse, and purposely so. Notice verse 29. "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was." Verse 34. "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" Yes, this is all that is involved. Mary could not understand how she could give birth, she being a virgin. And the angel Gabriel gives her the word of God, that the Holy Spirit shall impregnate her, and she shall give forth a son and call his name Jesus. But let's go further. Notice verse 41 of this same chapter. All right, let's go back to verse 39. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb." This is John the Baptist. "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her by the Lord." But it goes deeper than that. If Christ were not virgin born, then Mary's condition was pure adultery. Joseph or some other man had relations with her, and she's pregnant. And I picture for you Mary in the home of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Elizabeth carrying John the Baptist. Zacharias mute since his disbelief of the angel by the altar in Jerusalem? Would he allow Mary, an adulteress, to be in his home, the home of a priest? Of course not. Zacharias would have caused her to be brought to trial. And let me read to you from Deuteronomy what happened to adulteresses and adulterers. Will you turn with me to Deuteronomy 22? Chapter 22, verses 23 and 24. If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out of the gate to the gate of the city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife. So you shall put them away, the evil from among you. And then, as we've read in Matthew 1, Joseph was a just man. He had an espousal contract, which was to take a year from the time of his espousal until the time of his marriage. Before they came together, Mary was found with child. He wanted to put her away privately because he loved her. This shows he had no connection with the act. Could not have been the father. And notice the words of Matthew 1:20. I will read them to you. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. But 33 and a third years or so have passed, and the gospel writers record for us the scene at the foot of the cross. There is Mary, Jesus' mother. Possibly Mary Magdalene. And other of the ladies that associated with Jesus. There was John the Beloved. If Christ were not virgin born, Mary could have pled for her son. Take him down from the cross. Mary could have said, Jesus was the father. Was his father or some other man? Her declaration would have counteracted every statement that Christ had made, which I've already quoted to you tonight. My father and I are one. The Sanhedrin could have asked, are you the Son of God? And Jesus would have had in his honesty said, no, I'm not the Son of God. The rumor that was about that my mother conceived me in her virginity and gave birth to the Son of God is all false. But Scripture clearly, I think, from all that we've looked at, and there's much more that we could look at, Scripture clearly proves to us, first of all, the necessity of the virgin birth, so that you and I could know salvation. And secondly, that there are proofs that Christ was virgin born. He lived, He died, He was buried, He rose again, He ascended to glory, and He's waiting to come and return. And I think of the passage in John 11 where Jesus says to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was virgin born? Father, we thank you for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your word. You have spoken to us. Men of old have written it down, and we hold in our hands that trustworthy manuscript of all that you want us to know and all that you want us to believe. Thank you, Father, for our